Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today is going to be a very special episode. If you're wondering why I'm looking like this, you will find out very soon. But before I introduce our very special guest, we're going to watch a short video.
As we transform, we become better and more beautiful. And I want the world to know that. And I am having the largest gathering of people dressed as butterflies in history on June 29th, 2024.
The Trueness Project is hosting what's called the Butterfly March.
June 29th, 2024, in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's going to be the largest gathering in the world ever of people dressed up as butterflies.
And I urge everyone to participate.
We're going to raise the vibration of the planet through the Trueness Project to promote love, transformation, authenticity, everything that the Trueness Project represents.
Doing this community so we all can create a better place to live in for generations to come.
A moment where people from all walks of life unite and share a vision and purpose. A moment that sparks creativity, community, and love to blossom all around. This is what we are creating in Jackson, Wyoming on June 29th. And we are asking a worldwide community to give our intention wings so that love and peace may spread across the globe. Let our unified hearts become a powerful prayer for peace, harmony, and rebirth for all. This is how we give wings to a movement. Take flight with us. Join us on June 29th. The world needs you. The world needs us.
Okay, now that you've seen that video, I have a very special guest. Now, again, if you think I look weird, don't worry. You'll find out why. I thought it was weird at the beginning, like I said, but now I am one. So I am going to bring to the stage M. Teresa Lawrence. She is an author, an international speaker, and a coach, and she is out to break a world record on June 29th, but I'm going to let her tell you all about that. For now, welcome M. Teresa Lawrence. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Hillary. I'm really enjoying your outfit. And now I want to share with everybody that Hillary has joined the Flutterverse. Yes, she has. She has jumped truly into it. She has grown her wings and she is shining bright. I want to tell you what it is that we're doing on June 29th. And you can all sign up at butterflymarch.com. I want to make sure I say that along the way. But during the last year, there has been so much transformation in the world, but especially in my life, that I wanted to honor it. And the butterfly is the perfect symbol of transformation. And I believe that we all need to go through transformation to reach our inner truth, because we seem to be living other people's stories, other people's passions. In fact, I was just on a call, and the number one regret that people in Google search, the number one regret is not living the life you choose. It is living with other people's expectations and and their stories that they project onto you. I started a nonprofit, and it's called the Trueness Project, and it is all about living in truth and authenticity. And once you figure out who you are, the whole point of the nonprofit is for you to share your stories with the world. That is the whole point of this nonprofit.
But in order to get to that truth, transformation must take place. And so on June 29th, I am honoring the beautiful symbol of transformation, the butterfly. And we are going for a world record of the largest number of people dressed as butterflies. The event is in person in Jackson, Wyoming, Jackson Hole, for you guys that are familiar with the United States. We have two national parks on either end of Jackson Hole. Grand Teton is the closest. And I'm inviting you all to go, to show up, to take a stand for transformation. And our intent is to really spread peace and love around the planet as we all dance around like children dressed as butterflies. I know it sounds really weird, but it's really fun. And Hillary will now share with you. I'm sharing this idea. And she just is like, it's a little strange. And now look at her. She's in.
The first time I talked to Teresa, I was like, this chick is way out there. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know if anyone's going to come. And then we had another conversation Sunday, and I was like, I was online Googling butterfly headdresses. I think I bought like 8 by now. So anyway, now I am one. So it's kind of contagious. And, you know, this show is called the Getting Real with Hillary Show, and it's all about being your real self instead of your, you know, for me, it was my pretending, people-pleasing, phony self. And so if we could be our real selves, tell our story, get free, you know, I guess that's what this is all about. Right, Teresa?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's when you get that weight off of you and you just, it's so fun just being who we are, because we're just like big, fun love beings. It's true. That's what we are. Right. And when we were in Costa Rica, you guys saw the video, a very special group of people came to the Trueness Project Mastermind, and it was to set the intention for the butterfly event.
And Teresa, who, I know you had 7 people, but who were they and how did you find them?
I did talk shows like this, although 2 of them are very special. One is Janice Burt, and she went on the Kenya keynote speakers tour with me in September of 2023, because I wanted to change the world. And I had never spoken in public because I was still living the old stories of growing up and being an immigrant and not wanting to be seen, because then people would know I was different. And now, obviously, I don't care if I'm different. I'm just a little out there. Wow. But Janice went on the keynote speakers tour with me, and I had never spoken in public ever. And I hopped on a plane, and basically she held my hands along with everybody else there while we started talking. Like, I arrived at 8 o'clock in the morning. By 11, I was speaking in front of 500 students, and I was shaking because I, like, my desire to give out this little book, I know we're talking about too many things. Mm-hmm. My desire to give out that little book was so great that I was willing to walk through the fear. Mm-hmm. And my desire to spread the message of authenticity and transformation was so great that I knew I needed to keep doing it. By the end of that trip, I had spoken in front of 12,600 students. Wow. And they, you know, and several of them told me they resonated with my story, which we'll get into. You know, it's an immigrant story, and that's why I wrote the book. But Janice was there. And then Dominic was one of our speakers, and he's from Kenya, and he has dedicated his life. His name is Dominic Obadiah. He has dedicated his life to doing philanthropy and coaching people. And he was the first person I hired. He became the head of the Trueness Project in Kenya. That man is phenomenal. He goes to every school we donate to. He makes sure the donation goes directly towards education or to whatever we say it's going to go to. And I wanted him at this mastermind. And it was very difficult to get the visa. In fact, I got a message from the Costa Rican embassy. Is this real? Because they couldn't believe that I was having a mastermind in Costa Rica to,
oh my
to
God.
Set up the butterfly event. So that was Dominic. And then the other people came in organically. We had, what is Brock's last name? Well, I don't know. I love you, Brock. Nobody could pronounce Brock, so they called him Brooke because everybody seemed to be Spanish.
So you just kind of met them organically, right?
Yes. So the eight people came in organically, and it was beautiful. And Muriel Blanc is this incredible spiritual, I would say, I don't know. She's like the spiritual powerhouse. And when I told her what we were doing, she said, don't worry about it. We're going to do it. And she, you know, because everybody was contributing a gift of their own to the retreat, because everybody, you know, we all went and we all wanted to give something to each other. And she said, we're going to do a meditation on a boat. And she booked a moon, like a sunset cruise on one of those catamarans. We all got on that boat and we all looked at each other and we're like, this is it. We're going to set the intention here. And I had the Monarch butterfly outfit because, you know, we were doing butterfly things the whole time. And the minute we set that intention, it was like, wow, the dolphins appeared around the boat. Yes, people, this is true. This really happened. You could check with everybody that was on that freaking boat. It was incredible. So the dolphins are like swimming with us. And we're looking at each other going, did that really happen? And yes, it did. And as the sun set, it was like we all felt so much love for each other because we just spent all of this wacky time sharing like our deepest secrets with each other while we were horseback riding, we were tubing, we were doing this. And then Sabrina, who also went, and she's South American. She's the one who needed to call Brock Brooke. Brooke! She kept turning to me going, life is like rafting. You never know what is going to happen. And then we would do something else. And she would go, life is like horseback riding. You never know where the horse is going to take you.
Wow.
You know, it was just such an incredible group of people. And the intention was set and I can still feel it. And we all get on Zooms together and we're like, did that happen? And we're like, yeah, it happened.
Wow. All right. Well, let's back up a little bit so that people, I know it's kind of like you had your childhood, can you just tell that story quick and then we'll get to.
Okay. I'll be quick. Okay. So anybody who's been following this madness knows that I am a Cuban refugee. And when I was 3 years old, my father, who taught at the University of Havana, taught medicine, lost his job. And the way he lost his job was that they had a meeting of all of the professors at the medical school, and the communist national anthem or some communist thing was played. And my father didn't believe in communism, and so he didn't stand up. Now, he grew up in Cuba. He went to school in Cuba. With everybody in that room, he knew everybody, and that man is a freaking genius. He worked to get amazing grades to be able to have that position, and he imagined his life in Cuba being as a professor at the university and teaching children, because he believed that once you start teaching something, that means you're a master. So anyway. The entire community turned around, pointed at him and said, you don't belong here. You don't believe as we do. And so that day, you know, within a week, he had lost his job. My mom had lost her job. They took away our house, all of our possessions, and my dad was sent to prison. And so as a child, I remember all of this happening. But there's so many good parts about this story. And this is a true moment, teaching moment, because my father didn't teach us to be victims. He said, I'm getting out of here and I'm going to make something out of my life. And he petitioned to get out of Cuba. He brought us to the U.S.
And there were four kids, right?
There were four of us. I'm the youngest of the four. No one could take a family of six people. So we separated. And that's where, you know, the stories that we create as children started to happen. But before this is the point of the book. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, what started me with the book was seeing all of the children on the border and having parents send their children to the U.S. border alone. And I started crying and I said, I know exactly what they're going through. I need to share my story because it's going to help them. And then I saw the children from the Ukraine and all of the children just being sent all over the place because of disasters. And so before I left Cuba, my grandmother, who was not educated at all, but knew the power of story, gave me a doll because she knew that what was going to happen was going to be unpleasant. And that is putting it mildly. So she gave me a doll and she said, no matter what happens to you, tell the stories to this doll. And I remember holding on to that doll and I remember being left. You know, these are beautiful relatives that I was left with, but I didn't know who they were. And I thought my parents were abandoning me. And it was pretty freaking scary being there as a child. And so I kept telling the stories to the doll until at some point I figured out what my grandmother was trying to tell me. It's the power of the story. And you always finish, you are in control of your story. So no matter what happens to you, good or bad, you can tell a story that ends with you in a glorious place. Mm-hmm. And hence the name of the book, Gloriousness, because the name of the character is Gloria. Is Gloria. So the name of the character is Ness, and she has to figure out who she is. But that's the immigrant story. And then I wrote the book, and the book is designed to teach children to write their stories, to own their characters, to say, I feel this way today. This is who I want to be. And that's what they shared. And I wanted to give out the book. And hence, I started the nonprofit. And the rest, as they say, is history. Butterflies emerged. And you know where we are. You're dressed like a freaking butterfly.
When did you go? So when was that? When did you see those pictures and decide to write that? Because obviously, when you were little, you were three.
This started with COVID and how we shut down the border. So many things happened during COVID. I know I shared with you personally, so many people died that I love. And, you know, parents do what they need to do. Their intention is goodness for their children, you know? And when a parent sends their child alone, they're trying to help the child. They're not abandoning the child, but the child doesn't know that. And so it was right before COVID hit, and all of everybody was trying to get through that border, and it was shut down like crazy. And I saw all of this, and I was like, I got to do something. I really have to do something. And then we all know what happened next. There were like a gazillion natural disasters. Same thing, children displaced. I forgot the number, but it's a huge number of children displaced due to war, natural disasters, and obviously from COVID. And anybody can Google that and your mind will be blown because it's like, wow, what do you do?
Now, at the time, you were a lawyer, right? You were practicing law, not...
Oh, yes.
Very shy, right? Not a speaker, not... in public, not wearing
butterflies. I've always believed. But butterflies were. I've always believed in transformation, and I've always believed in giving back. And so, I did practice law for a very long time. I helped families with mental illness create special needs trusts for their children. And I think many people. Do not know that there are all these beautiful services in their communities. And it's usually called the ARC, A-R-C. And every state has one. And it's to help families with disabled children have a place where they can create trusts because parents aren't going to be there forever. And these children need caretakers and they need funds. And so you can set up a trust and they will help you and they will designate somebody to hold that money and protect your children. And so I did that for a long time.
Who did you work for?
I worked for myself. I was a sole practitioner. And I know a lot about this because we have members of our family that suffer with mental illness, and we had to protect them. And so I learned with working with my family, and I took that and I helped other people with theirs. But in addition to that, I did a lot of nonprofit work, and I was on the board of Neighbor Impact, which is the largest nonprofit in Central Oregon. And they run the, I don't know if they still do, but they run the food bank, the Head Start program. Mm. If you need help with electricity, you apply to them. They run so many amazing programs, but my favorite two were the food bank and the Head Start program, because the Head Start program, you take children that do not have the resources of wealthy families, but you give them the same access to education. And at the same time, you take the parents and you teach them wealth consciousness. You teach them how to set goals. The parents have to be on a committee. You know, they learn how to be on boards. They learn how to do service. And it's very beautiful when you give of yourself in service, because it empowers you and it empowers other people. And when you actually connect with somebody in service, you make a connection that is so beautiful, and it just carries through. You know, but you know, when you meet somebody and you're not in service, you know, those relationships, from my experience, don't really last.
Yeah. So you were always, well,
I was always in service, I've always been volunteering.
So when you
carries through, you know, but you know, when you meet somebody and you're not in service, you know, those relationships, from my experience, don't really last.
Yeah. So you were always, well,
I was always in service, I've always been volunteering.
So when you
carries through, you know, but you know, when you meet somebody and you're not in service, it did happen was we figured out we could live anywhere and work remotely. And so I had watched too many episodes of Mountain Men with my husband, and we decided we were going to do it. We bought a cabin in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, and we moved out here. And then I decided I needed an office, and I bought a covered wagon. And my office is in a covered wagon. It's fantastic. I have a petition online that anybody can sign. And it says, grant imaginary nation status to the covered wagon, Daniel, Wyoming. I have set a goal of 1 million people. This is all true. I have set a goal of 1 million people. And once I get there, I will petition the UN for imaginary nation status. And then this is how the butterfly thing actually started.
What does that mean? Imaginary nation status?
Well, it means that I will be officially imaginary. Oh. And at that point, I fully saw myself dressed as a butterfly addressing the UN. And then the whole butterfly thing emerged. But the funniest part about imaginary nation status is that I actually was developing a flag, and I had a whole citizenship application process, and then I was going to have products. I mean, I was really out there. And then somebody goes, and then if you look at my LinkedIn, it says I am president of Covered Wagon Nation.
And you're the only covered wagon. Like, it's just your little covered wagon, right?
Yes, it's just the covered wagon, yes. In fact, I have a replica over here.
Yeah.
Do you see the covered wagon? I don't know if you can see it, but there it is.
Oh, nice. So this was all during COVID. Like, you just, your imagination.
Like, no, after, so COVID ends, and we just decided, because everybody was dying, and like everybody that's listening to this, you know, you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Go enjoy your life. That's what this whole butterfly thing is about. I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to raise funds for kids, and I'm going to help people. And people are going to remember that on June 29th, they did something ridiculous with a whole bunch of other people who wanted to have fun and uplift the planet. And that is a memorable thing. When children play, they learn more. When adults play, and it's so rare that adults play, they remember it. And they're going to remember that connection. And that's what this whole thing is about. Sending love around the planet and having fun and building a community of people that want to see a better world for their kids. I mean, that's it.
Now, okay, let me ask you a question. Because to me, lawyer is serious, not fun. You said you were afraid to public speak. I know when we talked the first time, you said you somehow wanted to break out of that little shell, and it wasn't easy. So, like, you didn't start out this way, right?
No.
Or were you as a child, and then you went back to it? Like,
No.
What happened? Because I'm sure there's a lot of...
many immigrant families will relate to this.
Okay.
We get to the U.S., and education is so important to our family, and so important. It's like, I do have to share this because this is really, really funny. I do have a Juris Doctor from Columbia University, and I considered myself a doctor the minute I got that. Everybody else in my, well, not everybody else, but my father is an MD. My sister is an MD. Her husband is an MD. Her children are MDs. And my brother, Carlos, is a DC, a doctor in chiropractic medicine. And so when there was a discussion about doctors, it's like a Big Bang episode. I was never brought up as a doctor, yet lab doctor the minute I got that. Everybody else in my, well, not everybody else, but my father is an MD. My sister is an MD. Her husband is an MD. Her children are MDs. And my brother, Carlos, is a DC, a doctor in chiropractic medicine. And so when there was a discussion about doctors, it's like a Big Bang episode. I was never brought up as a doctor, yet lab doctor the minute I got that. Everybody else in my, well, not everybody else, but my father is an MD. Honorary doctorate given for work in philanthropy.
Wow.
And I by got who? Back.
By who?
By who? It's over here.
That's okay.
That's a really good question.
By a school or just by
No. It was, now I have to go back to the
That's
thing.
Okay. That's okay.
Sorry, people. It was
fine.
A doctorate.
It's fine. I'm just always curious, and so
But the point of that doctorate was not to like doctor. It was actually to get all of these fabulous people in Kenya that are doing amazing work to get together to commit to doing more amazing work in the future, right? And so there was all this press about it, and I get home, and my dad, who has never recognized me as a doctor, turns to me and he goes, Dr. Teresa, how wonderful it is that you have arrived. Because he was so proud of the doctorate in humane letters. It was so cute. So I
now, how
why
did
I
you did. End up going to Kenya to be on the speaking tour? How did that happen?
Oh, because I wanted to give out the book. And around the world, and I wanted to get the message of the nonprofit out, and so I was seeking out opportunities to speak, and that to me, that whole opportunity, if you can imagine, because my brand is the leadership of play, you play yourself through the fear, right? And so it's easier because you're doing it with other people and you're doing fun things, and it occurred to me that jumping off of that cliff of fear of public speaking was the only way I was going to get over my fear of public speaking. And now I have to go back and answer your question. The reason I went to law school is that I was not empowered enough to tell my dad that I wanted to go to journalism school or to art school. I did not have the power inside of me to tell my truth. And so instead of living my truth, I lived his dream, and I was given a choice of medical school or law school, and no offense to the people in the medical world, but should you be bleeding, see ya, I'm not your person.
So therefore,
this is
law.
The truth.
Right. So did you hate law school? Did you?
No, I didn't hate it, but I didn't enjoy it. but I understood that lawyers weave stories. That's all they do. And the best storyteller wins. If you're in a trial and you tell a better story, you have the power of persuasion to convince a jury to do what you want them to do. And it's all about story. And that's what lawyers do. And if you watch the news, depending on which news you watch, everybody's weaving a story. So if you're, you know, aware enough to know what is behind the story, you can really figure out what's going on. And if you're not, and you just let that in, then you're basically being programmed by whatever station you're watching.
Can you say that again? I spaced out. I was looking at our headdresses because
she's so fun, people. Are you watching?
I was comparing it to mine. And then you said something about the news and being programmed. Say that again, because I missed it.
Okay. So what I was saying is that lawyers know the true power of story.
Right.
And that's how they win in a courtroom. Because they weave the best stories.
Right.
And I'm going to digress again and say,
when you went to the news,
I'll get there in a second. Okay, but when you pick a jury, all those people have stories, and the lawyers have to filter out their stories, right? That's how you get that. But going back to the news, when you have knowledge of the power of story and how to write your story, other people's story, you can watch the news and say, okay, what is the narrative that they're weaving? And what is their intention behind this? I mean, I'm not saying anything that normal people can't see. There are different networks that have different agendas and they weave their stories in completely different ways. And so if you are aware enough to see that, you can understand that there's a bigger picture, right? And if you don't have the consciousness to say, hey, what's going on? You are going to get programmed by that news. I mean, that's my personal experience of watching, of being an observer of life.
Wow. Yeah. No, I see it because, you know, if you watch two different stations, you'll see two different versions. They can't both be true. Do you know what I mean? So I just find that one side is programmed by this side, and one is programmed by this. And
there is truth somewhere.
Yeah. But I think the danger is when there are some people that say, oh, well, I heard it on the news, so it's the truth. But it's like, well, if you listen to this station, you'll hear a different version. So how, you know, but that's the danger, is thinking that what they're hearing is the truth. That's my fear.
Well, everybody has a truth. But at the end of the day, we're all human and we are here to uplift each other. If you have any thought other than that, it's not you. It's some sort of programming, because we are on this planet to enjoy life and enjoy each other. That's it, people. We're not here to suffer. We're not here to do things because other people think we should. We're not here to please people, or, you know, it took me a very long time to figure all that out. I am trying to help children figure it out early on. Mm. Imagine what a world we would have
all right, let's take our commercial break, and then we're going to come back to that. And then we're going to remind them again.
Before we do, butterflymarch.com, butterflymarch.com.
Right. And we'll tell you how to participate. If you're not going to Wyoming, you can still participate. You can still go to butterflymarch.com and help Teresa break the world record for
people and looking. Hillary is an example of butterfly gear at work. I enrolled her into the event. And once she started buying the stuff, mine actually lights.
And after, I have a new one. So I may look a little different after the break. So, all right, we're going to go to our commercial break. This is really fun. And we'll see you in a minute after a word from our sponsors.
Thank you. Has social emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Okay, and thank you as always to KikoriApp.com. If you want to bring experiential social emotional learning to your children in schools, to your teams in business, anywhere, and it kind of fits in with what we're doing here today. It's all about play. After all, it's better than recess, as they said in the video. Then please go to KikoriApp.com and schedule time with them. If I'm going to just plug my books, I have 3. This one, Your Bullshit is Your Blessing, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun. That's what we're talking about today. Real talk. If you're not free to be your real self and to have conversations that are real, get this book. You can go to realtalkwithhillary.com and schedule time with me, and we will have fun getting you free and free to speak. And then if you haven't read my memoir, it's a little racy. You're not allowed to judge me. It's called The Second Piece of French Toast. It was my very first book, and it's a great story. If I must tell you, they're all available on Amazon. And now I'm going to add my headdress as soon as I bring Teresa. So we're going to talk again about the event on June 29th. And here comes Teresa.
Hello again. Oh. And so all while you're changing your headdress, I'm going to plug my books.
I'm going to add it.
So Gloriousness is my children's book, and it's available on Amazon. And The Power of Leadership with M. Teresa Lawrence is my leadership book, and also available on Amazon. And the cool thing about Gloriousness, it's available in Espanol on Amazon and Chinese, I believe. If they didn't take it off, I think it's still there. And soon it will be in French because Muriel LeBlanc translated it. And one day I will have time to actually get it up there. So,
wow.
Oh, look at you.
I kind of need a barrette, but I think I've used up all my things. Let's see.
Can you really have enough butterfly gear? I say no.
There we go.
Okay. So now I want to share with you all what is happening at the butterfly event. It is on June 29th. You are so fun. Okay. She's all in. She's She might even show up at the
event. Okay, I'm going to take myself out so you can talk yourself while I play with my butterflies on the sideline here.
Well, butterflies are contagious. They are just so beautiful. But anyway, back to the event. You can sign up for the event at butterflymarch.com. There's a button right at the top when you get to the page, and it says sign up. There are 2 options. You can sign up for the in-person event in Jackson, Wyoming. And I'll say both now. The in-person event is in Jackson, Wyoming on June 29th. and it's from 11 to 12 in the town square. And we are going for a world record of the largest number of people dressed as butterflies. And Coach Ken D. Foster will be our keynote speaker. And we are going to set the intention of spreading peace and love around the planet as we dress as butterflies and set a world record. It is like the coolest thing ever, people. It's fantastic. So that will happen in Jackson on the 29th. She's back.
I have a question.
Sure.
How, you know, like sometimes we have ideas and we think they're really good, but we don't actually do anything about them. This like took something, right? It took something for you to, you know, step out there and just start talking about it and actually be doing it. You know, I have ideas and I think, and then I don't do anything because I'm afraid of what people think. Did you ever have any point of that?
I mean, this is I had all of that, but the vision of me speaking in front of the UN dressed as a butterfly really got me going. And then once I declared that I was doing this, I couldn't stop. It was like, I honestly felt like, you know, and when I say I'm setting an intention for peace and love, I really mean it. Like when you look at the news, it's like, look at what's going on in the world. And when you say you want peace on earth, do you know how we get there? We each have to find peace inside of ourselves. This is not like I set an intention and then it goes, but people feel that love. They feel other people in that zone of peace and tranquility and love. And they say, it's okay for me to go there. Because if you're in a space of anger and jealousy and fear, that peace isn't going to happen. Other people might find peace on earth, but you're not. You got to forgive. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody what they got to do because that's very judgy, but I recommend that they do that.
You know, it's funny because I was in that anger, misery, frustration for like the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. I was just mad and I was frustrated. And I was like, you know, I have this book is all about techniques for creating freedom because I call it two different sides of life. Do you know what I mean? And you were talking about when you're angry and, you know, to me, that's the left side. I was stuck over on the left side. I was trying to get back to the right. And then I do whatever I can do, but I was talking to my spirit guide. I call her Wilma. And I was like, Wilma, what is going on? And she's like, well, what about you? And I was like, you know, I can't get it right. That's what I was frustrated about. A little childhood conversation. I can't get it right. And no one can love me this way because I'm so freaking miserable. And what she said was, you know, there is no right. You're fine. I don't know. Somehow just by saying it or allowing it, I got back to the peace and the fun and the love. And I go on these nature walks where I just get present and I hear the birds. And somehow I stepped out of the left side and back to the right, which is what you're talking about. But I think if somebody is angry and like I was feeling, thinking that you shouldn't be traps it more, at least for me.
Exactly.
Allowing it and going, you know, I'm really angry right now. Wow, I'm kind of miserable. Well, really, then I could allow it and then I could come back to what you're talking about, peace and love. But I couldn't do it by beating myself up and going, you shouldn't be this way. You know, like, yeah.
That's really not my intent. My intent, you know, the only thing a feeling asks for is to be felt, to be recognized. And once you feel it, I have a few people that just trigger me all the time, right? And then I start crying and it's the pop. It's the, why in the world was I so triggered? Why am I so angry? Show me what it is that I need to clear. What is it in me that needs to change? Because I honestly believe we're creating our own reality. And these things come up for us to say, okay, well, what do I get to learn from this? What experience did I have as a child that I'm still holding on to that I don't know of? Or even further than that, you know, some people believe in the whole karmic cycle and things that they have to release. And those, when a feeling comes up, lean into it. And people don't want to because they don't want to lean into the fear. Well, what if it was part of the whole process? People don't want to dress as butterflies. I had a man donate a ton of money because first he said he was going to dress like a butterfly. And then he realized he couldn't imagine having a picture of himself taken as a butterfly. Like, and so instead of doing that, he wrote me a check. And I honor him because it never occurred to me, because I had gone past that I don't want to be seen phase, that somebody could experience this. And I was just like, wow, there are a whole bunch of people that don't want to do this, but they still want peace and love in the world. And I'm going to honor them. If you want to contribute, contribute. He wrote me a check. And I honor him because it never occurred to me, because I had gone past that I don't want to be seen phase, that somebody could experience this. And I was just like, wow, there are a whole bunch of people that don't want to do this, but they still want peace and love in the world. And I'm going to honor them. If you want to contribute, contribute. He wrote me a check. And I honor him because it never occurred to me, because I had from going that, why am I feeling this way? And your spirit guide, your soul will bring it to you. Mm. And you may not like what you discover, you know, it, you might figure out you want to leave your job. And you hate it. You might, you know, something else might be revealed. But it's a process that's natural. That's why we get triggered. Where it's like we're triggered to either pivot and go to the right or to the left. It's our choice. Or we can stay exactly where we are.
Well, and I think fear, like, you know, I give you a lot of credit for being able to pivot. I mean, I think when we, again, that first time we talked, you said this was not you, that you were quiet and shy.
No, this is not me.
And it seems like it would be, but I remember what you said. This took something for you to get out there.
Yep.
And now it's pretty natural for you, right? You're not worried about it.
Well, it's getting better. It's getting better. And I have to be honest, it is getting better. Getting on stage with a mic, I'm still sort of shaky, but then it stops. But I imagine that one day that will stop completely, because I will know that I'm safe. And for children that have been in experiences where they're not safe and they're not in control, they like to control things. That's their, and the truth is, the only person I should be caring about is what I think, because I have a story to tell. Everybody out in the audience really wants me to succeed because they paid for a ticket to go. I mean, they don't want me to go out there and fail. It's like, wow, I want my money back.
Right. Wow. And how many people do you plan on having? How many do you need to break the world record?
Oh, not that many, 400. And so we're going to pack 400 people into the town square, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm going to enroll the schools and everybody in the community. And that night, the 29th of June, is the rodeo in Jackson, Wyoming, which is spectacular. So the town is basically almost sold out. And I am the only afternoon event. I am the only child-friendly afternoon event on June 29th. Everybody will be going to the rodeo. And so I say, wake up, join me, break a world record, get your little Trueness Project world record certificate, and let's go have fun in the world, knowing that we've brought goodness into this world.
Now, are you going to have, like, how are they going to get their costumes or their
oh, lovely- we're going to set up a table. Tables.
You're going to sell them?
When they sign up, they have an opportunity to donate $10, or I think $17 for two. And we have costumes for everybody that signs up. Okay. And so they're going to get their bracelet with their number. So very important. And they're going to get their costume. And that's from 9 to 10:30. A location to be determined, but it will be on the Eventbrite page and everywhere. It's even going to be on the website, butterflymarch.com. You will all know where to go. And then we will do our butterfly march. We will march to the town square as butterflies. I will have a drone videotaping our massive march.
Wow.
And we will get there. And then I hope to enroll the town mayor to say a few words. And then Ken will speak. And then he has invited another lovely speaker to join. She has a butterfly healing technique that she's going to share with the crowd, because it's all about transformation and healing. And it's a process. I mean, that's all we can say. It's a process. And then after that,
where do you get all these butterfly costumes?
Oh, okay. Well, the least expensive place to get them is at a company called Temu. And if you're listening, Temu, it would have been lovely if you had sponsored the event. But I keep writing letters. Keep trying.
Say that again, because it cut out.
Oh.
So you said Temu and then you cut out. Yeah.
Oh, the company's name is Temu, and they have the least expensive butterfly outfits. I do have enough outfits for 400 people. And there will be contests for homemade costumes and best pet costume, and a whole bunch of other things. And I have little, I guess, butterfly coloring book things for children to color in. So that should be really, really fun experience. May I share what's happening the night before the butterfly
march? Sure. And then in a few minutes, we need to wrap up.
So. Okay. So the night before the butterfly march, we're doing the book launch of The Grand Butterfly Gathering, Wings of Change for a Transformed World. And so that will happen on the 28th. And everybody that went to Costa Rica was part of the butterfly book. And we had other fabulous people contribute. It is now done. And it will publish on June 1st. And we're having book launch on June 28th. We're going to have a fabulous dinner. We're going to share stories. And then I have bought butterfly outfits that light up in the dark. And it gets dark late. So we're going to have dinner late, and we're all going to dress the people that are going to the book launch, which is the VIP evening. If you want to go, it's $500 extra. You're going to have to donate $500 or more. And you have to write me a note, VIP, $500 or more. We're all going to dress up in our illuminated butterfly outfits and do a butterfly march the night before through the town of Jackson. And those that want to go on a bar hop dressed as their illuminated butterfly are more than welcome. But that is how we initiate the butterfly march. So that's the night before. And anybody who wants to participate around the world, this is a worldwide event. You can sign up at butterflymarch.com and host your own butterfly party. You can order from Temu. You can order from Amazon. I don't know where else you get a butterfly outfit from. And host your own party and then send me pictures of your group dressed as butterflies. You can send it to my Instagram. You can send it to Facebook. You can send it where else? Or you can just post it on butterflymarch.com. And we're going to run the pictures the whole day, because 11 to 12 in Jackson is a different time all over the world. And everybody around the world is invited to do this worldwide prayer for peace and this joyous celebration of transformation and our connection to each other and to nature.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's fun. It's really, really fun. And it just keeps going.
Just keep evolving, like getting bigger.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So cool. So, all right. So in our last few minutes, I think I know your vision, but I want to hear you speak it. What is your vision for the world? Let's say 5 years from now, 2 years from now, whatever. What would be something that would just, come from your heart?
Well, I want this vision. When I went to Kenya in December, I went to the youth summit. And I was so inspired by what happened there. Africa is getting rid of their visa requirements for people to travel from country to country to country. How beautiful would that be? I know that, borders are historically necessary, but we are all human. And we learn by being with each other and learning new things. And when I was at the youth summit and they said, you're not going to need, if you're African, you're not going to need, I mean, for anybody, you don't need a visa to go from this country to that country. I almost started crying. I said, it's beautiful. They're allowing people to move freely. They no longer have fear that this is going to happen or that is going to happen. And so my vision for the world is honestly that the people that I'm inviting to the Butterfly March will stand up. They're the people that want peace in this world. Those people are the silent people. They never say anything. They just let everybody with the loud voices and their desire to control and to really cause mischief take over. And there are more people that want peace than that. And so my vision is that those people stand up and say, no, we're going to leave a legacy for our children that has community, creativity, and love. We're going to let people live their authentic lives. And that's the goal of this event. It's the goal of my nonprofit. I am taking the butterfly theme. Like, this is not the last Butterfly March. Each year we have a theme. Next year we're going to Ireland for our Reflections project, because once you transform, the process starts anew. And so it's time to reflect on where you've been. And so we go to Ireland, we have our retreat, we write a book, and then we find historical butterflies of Ireland. But we have a smaller butterfly event there.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Teresa. This has been, you know, you're a model for being creative. You know, sometimes we're on that emerging side of our lives where we're free and we're creating and we have no barriers. And thank you for living there so that you're kind of, you know, you're kind of paving the way for all of us to be brave enough and courageous enough to follow our dreams and follow our passions and, you know, make the world a better place. So thank you so much for being you.
Thank you, Hillary. This was a lot of fun and I'm enjoying your outfit.
I might not take it off. I kind of like, I'm digging this butterfly stuff. Where we got one more. Oh, wait, I got two more. The package came with extra, so it's really fun. So join us June 29th. Go to butterflymarch.com. We'll have all the links in the show notes. And, you know, just be courageous enough to be your real authentic self.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you soon. What is it?
Peace. Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.